Brave Bear. Brave Bear was careful to tell us a bear. Tell Doctor. Doctor, what you call him now? Dr. Russell. He said that the Sioux, just a fringe of the Sioux, were engaged in that fight up here. The big end of the Sioux were engaged up at the upper end where Major Reno and Benteen had engaged them up at the upper end in an attempt to cut them off up there, and that's where the fighting began first. And this Custer himself engaged the Cheyennes with a verse.
Well, they didn't even know it was Custer, huh?
Yeah. Well, I don't know whether they knew him. He didn't say that we knew it was Custer. He said the soldiers. Mm-hmm. So, anyhow, he said the order was that we gave up there, all the young fellows, be all ready, because it isn't going to be but a few minutes, he said, before we're engaged in a life and death struggle here. And so he said that we instructed him. I said, when they come down there, which they're going to in just a few minutes, and come down in the middle of the creek, he says, get the bugler and the man that carries the flag. He says, shoot them down first. Then he said, you've disrupted them, because these soldiers don't fight up there individually. Everybody for himself and the devil for the hindmost. They wait for those orders from that bugle up there, and they fight by bugle instructions up there. And he said, get the bugler. He says, knock him down up there. And he said, we've got it. He says, we've got him where it's man-to-hand, man-to-man fight up here. And he says, we can handle him up there. He says, pretty well suit ourselves up there. But he said, if you don't get him and he's blowing instructions up there, well, they said they fight according to instructions. So he said, that was the order that went out. And they said, get him first when he comes. So he said, we waited. Sure enough, there, they said, they wasn't very long before they got to that break up there in that ridge. Medicine Coulee breaks right up here too. Eh? Then you have that big slope that goes up there. And he said, they came down and they paused just a little bit, not very long at the foot of the hill. And he said, they came right on and said, those fellows never stopped. By golly, he said, they just came right along. Hit the water up there, and the water, he said, was way up here on the horses, was way up here by ribs. He said, when we put up our feet to keep our marks from getting wet, he said, we were wet, all our knees up there, and he said, the force of the stream was knocking our horses back in, downstream up there. The water was that deep up there. Height up, you know, that is a...
High
water, that's the highest the river gets, is around 25th. That's when she's full, the banks are full. And he said, we didn't have to wait long. He says, we were all lying uneasy. He says, riding back and forth up there. He's ready for the charge. And he said, we'll give the command up there. Hey. That means, that's universal, I guess. That means, okay, go to him. That's the equivalent. He said, they come along, and he said, they never stopped up there. Bingo, they come right in. And he said, wait at the water. And it's always been a wonder to me that they didn't kill Custer right there in the river. They apparently laid him alone. He said that they come right along down in the river, and when they got about the middle, he says, we hollered, Cahoy! Bingo, he said, all at once, boys, and we splashed. After they shot, he said, I saw the bugler and the fellow that carried the flag down. Now, those fellows may have gone down the river, and they never was accounted for, because they killed them, he said, right in the middle of the creek, the bugler.
Kill a bunch of others,
too. Yeah, the bugler, and he said the flag man went down, and he said with that their regular shooting like ducks, you know, I guess they killed some more. But he said, and then we splashed the water, and he said, we couldn't see a blessed thing when we hit the water. He said, several hundred of us hit the water at the same time, man. He said, just like rain. We were drenched up there. And he said, when we got to where they were, he said, they retreated, turned around up there in midstream, and we're getting out of there pell-mell. He says, there's no order at all. No. No. Nida says, not a sign of order up there. He said, they went up that Medicine Tail Coulee up there as fast as they could get out of there. And thank God, he said, it wasn't but a minute. We were swarming up all around them. So on the sides of them up there, and he said, they couldn't go anywhere except go straight ahead up there. And he said, gosh, we were shooting them with arrows in the back. He said, God, the poor soldiers had arrows up there, and lances up there with those sharp metal ends on there, and those that had guns, of course, used their guns, because God, he said, we've been fighting the soldiers way down in the Dakotas and in the Kansas country up there, and we got a lot of ammunition and their guns up there, and said we were knocking them off right and left up there. And he said, I said, Dr. Russell said, didn't they turn around and fight He said, no. He shook his head, and then, just like a bunch of women, he said, they were screaming, shooting in the air, and he said, didn't shoot at us here. They were shooting in the air and everywhere way up there. It was a shame up there. He said, they slaughtered them, but he said they were out to kill us, and there was nothing for us to do but see you kill them first, save our necks up there. He said, it wasn't long. He said, when they hit the water up there and they retreated up there, he says, God, we come up and soldiers are knocked right and left up there. Then he said, they started to turn this way. Somebody, he says, in the bunch, he says, a Cheyenne says, somebody, he says, head them off. He says, in Cheyenne, he says, they're turning this way and they might go down toward the agency and toward the timber up there. And he said, so, he says, I took a bunch, he says, up there, about 16, 20 of us up there. He says, come on up there. And we ran along, he said, this way, right through the sagebrush up there. They were going this way up that coulee. They weren't going up the ridge, up coulee.
Oh, yeah.
You see that? I measured that thing. That's only about 3/4 of a mile from there to where they killed them all, cleaned them all up. And he said, we run along up this way, not on the ridge, but he said, kind of underneath, and where the monument was, he said, we come up there quick. He said, we got up there in a hurry, and he said, you see those choke cherry trees there? And he said, yeah. And he said, we tied our horses in there, and we were all afoot, he said, waiting for them in the sagebrush up there. And he said, we could hear the shooting coming up there. Right up there, they were coming halfway up there. We didn't have to wait long. He said, here they come. He said, one of them, he said, there they are, eh, Joker? He said, well, God, said, come up there. And he said, there was General Custer and his, he was leading the bunch, and he was coming up. That picture, anyhow, is a bush showing Custer in a buckskin suit, two pistols and a sword, knocking them off. Every time he showed, out goes a Sioux. That's all humbug. Some German that devised that picture in his mind, that he sure had a wild dream up there. He said they were coming up there with shooting them down everywhere on me, both sides. And he said, God, they were coming up there. And when they come up there, he said, we all raised up when they were about 50 yards in front of us. They saw us up there, and boy, he said, they let out a hoop and they turned to right and left. And gee, they weren't just about as far as our barn up there, or this side up there. And he said, God, it's like shooting ducks with a shotgun up there. He said, boy, we said, we let them have it. That's where Custer fell. He says, he and his, all those leading, he says, down they went. He said, we got up there on our horses up there. And by that time, he says, they started over the ridge up there. And he said, we got up on our horses and went over there. And he said, the Cheyennes up there had come this way, next to the creek up there. And he said, some had gone over the ridge. And he said, God, they shot them down up there. They didn't let any of them get to the creek up there. They halted them up there, and they came back up in there. He said, they were knocked down, just soldiers everywhere. And when they got up there, we killed the leaders, and those that followed started to make a break for the timber down there. And they met another bunch of Cheyennes coming along the river that came the same way we did up there. Shot them back, and he said, it's all over. Said, is there any more? He said, nothing more to tell you. We killed them all. And he said, How long up there? He made a statement. He said, just a little bit on the clock. He says, 1 hour, 2 hours. No, he said, just a little while. So we just had to leave our guests up there. Half an hour covered up there. Dr. Russell said, well, I'll be damned. That's a fight, he said. There's nothing to it up there. Just a stampede up there. They're overwhelmed. They didn't fight back. And they said, that's all. This whole engagement took a little over a half hour. Well, he said, the time they crossed, they hit the midstream up there until they got here. It was just about a mile up there. Yeah. They were coming on a high trot, getting out of there. They weren't walking, he said. They were riding, getting out of there. They were trying to make a break down toward her and away with that other outfit they knew was coming. But gosh, he broke the agreement and shot up, went out there the day before, the 26th up there. He waited for those fellas, and they closed in on him with that pincer movement. They expected General Crook to come this way. They thought they had him in the vise up there. They didn't know that Crook had shot the devil out of him up there 9 days before up there. And the other general, what is his name?
Terry of Gibbons.
His outfit had joined together, and they were having a hard time out. That bighorn is just like a little horn, just plumb full. It took a man that was experienced in swimming a horse up there in those days to go, and you couldn't have a horse packed with saddles and all kinds of equipment. The horses up there were afraid up there, and if, especially these thoroughbreds, if they have it, never swim. They go this way up there, and you drown. The horse and all of them drown. So he said, God, they were headed that way, and when they come up there, they took care of them, but on this western slope of that ridge, there it was, and it's all over. He said, that's it, boys, let's go home. Well, I said, well. I said to Dr. Russell, I said, now you heard some history, doctor. He said, I did. He said, that's the first time that I've ever heard this thing told. And he said, no occasion for this chief up here to tell us any different. He said, he follows. It's that vacuum from what I told you about that exists from the mouth of Reno Creek to where they annihilated him, let's call it that, where they cleaned him out. Nobody's been able to give us that story of that Custer fight. Those fellows, Major Reno, those folks jumped into timber and fortified themselves, stay there next. They didn't see, you can't hear the shooting that far. That's a long ways. That's 3-4 miles.
Mm-hmm.
4 miles. So there's nobody that gave us the correct story except the story that I'm telling you now up there.
Oh, Russell, he never
published it.
Published it,
and Mrs. Russell died here just a few days ago. I wanted to see her to see if the doctor ever made any notes up there, but I was the chief interpreter at that thing. I made my notes and I kept those, so I wrote them up here one time. I showed them to Fred Lastwell. Fortunately, before he died, he said that was exactly the story that the chief told us. John Storling, that stands in the timber, said that's exactly the story his grandfather told him up there, so we're not off the beam up there very far.